Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 307, recorded on September 17th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer and Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Feeling ranty.
Sweet.
I'm feeling a little ranty.
Awesome. Wow, I think that's just what's going to happen, because I'm feeling the same way.
All right, listeners, put on your seatbelts and safety goggles, because this flight's about to get rough.
Okay. So let's go over a couple just general things, and then we can get ranty. So iPhone 7, it's here. So it's for sure. iFixit tore down the iPhone 7 and Plus, and it's confirmed that the Plus version has an extra gig. So it's 3 gigs of RAM in that bad boy. iPhone 7.
It won't make a dang bit of difference.
Nope.
It won't?
Well, so here's the awesome thing about the iPhone, right? Is despite whatever the specs are in it, it's just freaking awesome. It just works. It goes fast. Apple puts in what needs to be in there. So it's funny because this is one of those spec points that nerds get hung up on. But it doesn't really matter because you have Android phones with 4 gigs and, you know, faster processors, and the iPhone still smokes them by a mile. They put out Geekbench tests on the sevens now, and they're just decimating latest, you know, Galaxy phones and that stuff. So
the S7 is the
bonus. They don't explode.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's the note, right? But the reality is, you know, for people listening to this, yeah, it's kind of fun to go, oh, awesome, it has 3 gigs of RAM. It's 1 gig more, but Apple just puts in what the phone needs to perform the way it needs to perform. So most of us don't have to worry about this, right? It doesn't even really matter. So that's what I mean by it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because your phone is going to be awesome and fast. And yeah, you can run around and say it has 3 gigs now versus 2, but
it doesn't matter.
I didn't really think about that. Yeah. The fact that my 6, which is what I was using, had 1 gig didn't truly matter too much to me, although moving to iOS 10, I was feeling pretty laggy in certain situations.
Yeah, because my daughter just upgraded her 5S. It's a 5S. Mm-hmm. A 5, I think, to iOS 10. And it's doing okay. I mean, it's showing its age, and it's a little clunky.
Okay, so
she ran into a little issues right after upgrading, overall it's been okay.
Let's just get this one out of the way. So
okay.
So say someone has a 5 or a 5S or even a 6, and they're fine where they are in the operating system. They haven't upgraded to 10, and a lot of people have reservations about upgrading, rightfully so, because it does make your phone slower. Period. Like, you can't argue with that. What are the benefits
to making your phone slower? Yeah.
What are the benefits to making your phone slower? What are the trade-offs? I mean, you've got slower performance.
So for her, because she's of a certain age, iMessage.
Okay, so the iMessage.
She would suffer with twice the slowness probably for the new iMessage features.
What are the new iMessage features that are killer?
Stickers.
All of them.
Seriously? Stickers a big deal?
Stickers are a huge deal.
Because
stickers,
I feel like
digital touch. I should show you my phone.
How about
I should
playing
show
games
you my phone right
in
now.
Apps? Or my, in messages?
All
I'm
my
doing
phone
that
is,
right now.
All that I've seen on my phone for the past 24 hours is every feature that is built into iMessage.
Yes,
so
everyone
apps,
I know
stickers,
that's upgraded to
touch,
iOS 10, same thing.
Bubble effects, screen effects, yeah.
I don't, okay.
And Michael, I totally get why you're looking at this and thinking, did Adam and Jeff have strokes? Because I'm not getting why they're all worked up about this.
For the normies.
And that's okay. Yeah, it's because this isn't something that falls into the world of communication stuff that's important to you. But outside of our bubble that we have here, this is huge. And yeah, because a lot of the people I interact with actually are outside of our bubble, I'm seeing what a big thing this is for people. And and because of the fun they're having with these features, I'm really enjoying them too.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a game changer. I mean, this is something that is going to sell more iPhones, believe it or not. I'm thoroughly convinced of that now.
Just I'm after totally
watching
with
what's
you.
Been happening in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours since people have gotten this. Because I've been seeing things on Twitter. I've been seeing, like, people are going gaga over the iMessage stuff in iOS 10. Okay, since iOS 10 was released, what, on the 13th?
Right. Yeah, and
okay, so
I'm surprised at the number of people overall that are just flipping over stickers.
Yeah.
And one of the first questions I got from people I know when iOS 10 was released, before they'd even installed iOS 10, was, how do I use stickers? And
okay, so
and,
just stop. Yeah. Stop. How do stickers work? What the hell am I supposed to do with stickers?
Okay, so stickers are sort of like emoji, but they don't go in line with your text. You apply them to your messages after you've written them. So if you've ever played with stickers in something like Facebook.
Nope. So give me a rundown.
Okay, so you get these other graphics that you can drag and drop onto messages or just drag them in as their own individual message. And so they can attach to a specific chat bubble, and you can stack them on top of each other. So you can essentially customize a sticker image by grabbing all these different stickers and putting them together. And it gives people another way to express themselves through a text message.
And yeah, you can drop them anywhere onto an existing message bubble or photo or whatever.
Right.
To whose message bubble?
Anybody's.
Yours or theirs.
Message. Yeah.
And everybody sees it, and then we're just we're
and everyone's happy.
Because now I can't. Okay, so, I just sent you one, and now I can't see the message you sent me, and I can't get rid of it. I don't know what to do.
Okay, hold on. Let me hop back into messages. Because
so, like one of the clever and popular sticker packs that was just released, I think it got featured by Apple, is there's a guy that put out a sticker pack called Grammar.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to get it wrong. Is it? It's not Nazi, right? I want to say Grammar Nazi, but it's not. It's Grammar.
It's probably maybe that.
Yeah, but what it is it's basically grammar corrections that you can put over. So if someone uses the wrong form of your in their thing, you can pull the sticker on, and it basically crosses out the, you know, Y-O-U-R and in handwritten red, like a proofreader's correction, it's like your. So you can, like, slam your friends who use the improper grammar. And it's a whole set of those.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I guess. So you have to attach it to a message. Man, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You drop it on a message bubble. Oh, and another one that I forgot to mention that they're really enjoying is message reactions. So if you
that one
press
makes
and hold
sense to me.
On a message, you can like it or love it or favorite it. And what's cool about that is, I didn't know this, when you... they'll stack up. So if people put multiple reactions onto a message, when you go back and tap on that at the top of the screen, it'll show you all the different reactions, who reacted to it, and the counts and stuff like that. Sort of like on Facebook.
When you tap on what now?
So when there's a reaction to a message,
uh-huh,
right, they build up on the sort of corner, the top right corner, I think, of the thought bubble or the message bubble.
Sure.
And so when you come back and tap on that message bubble again, you'll notice there'll be a little panel at the top that will show you, especially if you're like in a group message, all the various people who have reacted to that and what the various reactions are and the counts of those reactions. Like, you know, three people thought it was funny, three people loved it, these two people favorited it. And you can tap on those individual ones and then see each person and what their reaction was.
Okay.
So again, these aren't any big features that I'm going to use probably on a daily basis. But again, there's a lot of people who, like, this is a big, huge deal for them. And it's built in. And the other big thing on Apple's part is because they have the apps and the stickers and stuff like that, what Apple was seeing was that all of these features are part of third-party apps, right? There's, mm-hmm. you know, WhatsApp and all these other things, Instagram, have all had these features built in, right? Apple has now taken that back, built it into iMessage, and with through apps and all of this stuff is you now are going to have all kinds of third parties taking their features and building them into Apple's built-in app, right? You're not having to go to three different message apps to deal with everything. You're going to do everything in one place. And I guarantee you there's going to be people showing this stuff to their friends on Android phones or sending these messages to people on Android phones, and they're not going to be able to see these features or get these features. And again, you're going to have people that it will draw them into the ecosystem. It will act as a halo effect.
If you send a sticker to someone that is not using iOS 10,
just comes as
what they see is just, just an inline image.
Huh.
You know, so you send that to them and then you're like, look how it is on my phone. It's over the thought bubble. Isn't this awesome? And it sounds silly.
It sounds insane. It's stuff
that people care about.
So, they Michael, do. I take it this means you have no interest in using my sticker pack.
I mean, don't say it that way.
I mean, it's in the same way. It's in the same vein as how Photo Booth sold Max.
Okay. All right. I'll buy
it. I mean, I saw this happen over and over again where someone would go into an Apple store. Back then it was like a CompUSA or Best Buy.
Yeah.
And they'd find the stupid Photo Booth app and they'd spend, you know, 30 minutes just sitting in the store messing with that thing, laughing and loving it, and then choose to buy an iMac because of that thing.
Yeah, they wouldn't even know what other features the iMac had. All they knew is that they fell in love with Photo Booth.
Yeah, it's like a cliche, but killer app. I think Messages is going to be a killer app for iPhone for the next year and a half or so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fine. How did we get on this? We were talking about the performance.
Well, we were talking about reasons for people to suffer through slower iPhones in upgrading to iOS 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so I guarantee you there will be people who will put up with apps launching, you know, 15% slower so they can have the message features.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got the message features. You can draw. I like the personal drawing. Maybe the reactions. And I like the inline stuff, the inline websites and that sort of thing. Those are nice.
It's a huge update to it makes Messages a lot more fun and a lot more, you can add a lot more emotion. You can add a lot more just fun, you know? It's just silly, fun stuff. And people are going gaga over it.
They are.
I feel like absolutely the UI is a little bit confusing still. It's a little bit confusing.
Honeymoon may wear off. It may not.
Yeah,
I think it's not going to because it's apps and developers can build in new features. So as one thing gets stale, you know, they're going to be fleeting. You're going to have fleeting things that are going to, you know, just like we have with apps and games.
Yeah, well,
people get enamored for a week or a month or whatever, and then they move on to the next thing. But there's always going to be the next thing. That's kind of the genius of doing it as an app.
I suppose. Okay, so
just a bolt-on feature.
I like the app. Some of the apps that let me do things like sending, images or GIFs or that sort of thing.
Yep.
So what else do we have in here? So I guess there's some. I guess I would say hidden Siri additions, in as far as new apps or apps that will let you do certain things with Siri, right? But I think that's really going to be tough to discover how to do it and keep track of what apps will actually let you do stuff with Siri.
I think with that kind of feature, you're going to learn the apps that you care about and use that support it. So if you're a big Uber user or Lyft user, it's a big deal to you and you'll figure it out. But if you don't use that stuff, then, you know, it doesn't really matter, but it doesn't detract. I mean, it's additive. There's no kind of
That's true.
Downside to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, except in the way that you think, oh yeah, my, you know, the Venmo app uses Siri or Yelp uses Siri. I know I have this other app that does it, and then you do it and then it doesn't work. That does.
You know, it's funny. I already actually used that because I was passing by a taco shop that I hadn't noticed in my neighborhood, and I was driving. And so I asked Siri about, I forget the specific phrasing I used, but basically I was like, I'm going to ask Siri if she knows if that's if that has good reviews or anything like that. And she immediately came back and said, yeah, it has 3 stars on Yelp with this many reviews.
Hmm. Well, I think,
which I thought was kind of awesome. And I don't know if that's cool. I don't know if that's new or not. I had never tried that before with Siri.
I think you typically have to say, you know, with Yelp or with Venmo or with Cash.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
So if you want to figure out what apps...
I think I just asked for reviews of, you know, John's Taco Shop or whatever it was.
Right. So if you want to figure out what apps you can do Siri with, you go settings, Siri, app support, and you can check those out in there. It'll give you the little list.
Oh, cool. That's a good tip. I hadn't thought about doing that.
Yeah.
That's actually a brilliant tip.
So, and for whatever reason, these apps are off. I don't know why. But
well, they're probably off by default. You probably have to turn them on. It's probably an opt-in versus an opt-out.
Venmo asked me, but Cash did not. Square Cash did not ask me about that. So I'm not really sure how that is set up. But and then I guess Uber. I thought Uber was a system thing, but.
Yeah, actually, all mine are off. So the Yelp thing, I didn't even have Yelp on, so all that right. must... Oh, wait, take it back. I was on my other phone. So who knows if okay. Yelp was on the other
Fair
phone.
Fair enough. All right, so you get your messages, you get Siri... I don't think the Siri integration is going to be a big killer thing. Messages is definitely a big deal. Maps, I think, are much better as far as driving.
I'm really impressed with how much better maps are.
Nice big buttons.
That would be worth suffering through a slower phone for too. I believe maps is freaking the maps update is probably for me the best update that's in iOS 10.
And I do like the, I guess the more contextual notifications. Right, so in messages,
iOS 10,
you get the...
I love iOS 10 across the board. Sorry.
More messages in there. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the widgets. It may be a situation that because I'm an Apple Watch user, I just don't see the value.
I could see where you would see that, yeah.
Because I have those
widgets. You rely on your Apple Watch for all that stuff, then yeah, it's not going to be as big a deal on your iPhone.
Yeah, definitely. And the keyboard is definitely nicer as far as, you know, say, if you're typing like, oh, my phone number is, and then it will suggest to you pulling your phone number from contacts, and you just press the button in the little the typing suggestions box. That's nice. Photos has been updated quite a bit with the... you know, with searching and moments and that sort of thing. Although I haven't really tried the searching.
The search stuff is, once it gets done, the only problem with the search stuff is it takes forever the first time for it to do the indexing. And actually a big frustration for me is that data doesn't transfer. So when I upgraded, it's basically starting over from scratch and it takes forever because that's a local database. It builds up. And the other problem with it being local is it doesn't sync through iCloud. That's part of the security privacy thing. So even if you do training for things like faces on one device, you have to redo that training on every device.
Mm-hmm. That's lame.
It's one of those privacy versus, you know, security trade-off things. And so I understand why Apple did it. It is kind of lame from an end user perspective. But, you know, with privacy, we can't always have our cake and eat it too. And, you know, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of prefer that Apple uses that route rather than, but you'd think they could figure out a way to maybe transfer that as encrypted data that's protected. I don't know. Hopefully that's something that they're working on figuring out, because I think that'll make the feature a lot better. But the feature is freaking awesome. I mean, it's amazing how accurate it is once that database has been built up. And so people know it's using artificial intelligence on the device itself to analyze all your photos for the content of the photos, and then automatically creating a searchable index of that content. So if a photo has trees or birds or dogs or deer or whatever it might be, it's actually analyzing all of that and doing recognition on objects. And it's amazing how accurate it is once the database has been built up. But it only builds up the database when you're plugged into power and your phone is locked.
Hmm.
And connected to Wi-Fi. So there's kind of like three things that have to be going on for it to actually be building that index.
Is there a way to tell it that the index is wrong? So like I'm in the food category and I'm seeing a picture of coral and fish. Maybe you picked up on the fish.
Fish are food.
No, they're friends, not food.
Fish are friends, not food.
They're tasty friends.
Yeah, I don't think currently there is a way to correct it that I'm aware of. Again, hopefully that's something that will get added at some point in the future. Mm. But it does a pretty darn good job. I mean, from what I've seen, you can get pretty specific about stuff.
That's nice. Yeah. So, and I do like the memories. The memories stuff is really cool. The way it's kind of magical. The UI for
you
finding
can train the
you
faces
is a little bit
by
difficult.
The way.
Yeah, you can train the faces. So you go in albums, people.
Faces. Oh, people.
I love the faces of people. I'm like, who the hell are these people? Who are these people?
But there they are.
They're background people in your life that happened, you know, one time or whatever. Like,
yeah.
For example, I don't know why I have a picture of Bobic in here. It's because Omar took a picture of him. You remember that, Adam. You were there.
Yeah.
With his cardboard cutout. So now he's in my faces. But I guess you can delete them. Or height.
Or you could label them, and then any other picture that has Bobic in it, it'll find.
That's fine.
Right.
But you can hide them. You can train them.
Yeah, not with the objects yet, but hopefully that'll be something added in the future.
Yeah, so if you find a face and you think, hey, it's missing some faces, you tap on the face, so you go to the category of the person, and then you scroll all the way to the bottom. And then you click confirm additional photos.
And I still do it with pets, although Apple will tell you it doesn't work very well with pets.
It does not.
You know, I haven't had a chance to try it yet with my mom.
Does she have a pet face? Does she have a cat face?
Well, she has an identical twin. And so a few years ago, the facial recognition thing, when I was trying to tell it the difference between my mom and my aunt, mm-hmm. it finally gave up and was like, nope, I'm never going to recognize your mom's face again.
It just stopped.
Yeah, so my mom's face, as far as photos is concerned, doesn't exist. So it'll be interesting to see if that works better now.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you even tell? I'm going to disclose a very honest thing now. Sometimes when I'm sorting and training for my kids, because when they were at the same age, sometimes depending upon how the photo was shot, it's very hard to tell which one is which. So, you know, if it's a photo and it's both when they were at, you know, three, they look very similar
mm-hmm.
in some photos, not every photo, a lot I can tell immediately, but some it's like, not really sure.
The photo set that I see where at first I'm not sure if it's my mom or my aunt, those are few and far between.
Yeah, I'm not saying it happens a lot, but the point is like, I mean, the artificial intelligence and the stuff that the computer has to do, I mean, even when you have situations where you as a human can't do it, and it brings home like how tricky this stuff can be. Fact that it works at all to me is magical.
Yeah, it really is impressive.
And you can also set the example photo. I forget exactly how to do that.
I think what you do is
hit select and then tap the photo and then then you hit the little share button, which makes perfect sense, and then say set key face. So there's that.
Well, of course, because setting a key face, it totally makes sense as something you're sharing.
Well, they've overloaded that button, obviously. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
When in doubt, yeah, click that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's the when in doubt, click the thing and hope.
It's the junk drawer button.
Yes, it's the junk drawer
totally
button. Yeah, okay.
Now the icon finally makes sense to me.
Oh, it's the arrow represents you pulling out the junk drawer.
Yeah.
Yep.
News has been improved also, and I haven't really played too much with. I guess I have. I've been on iOS 10 for a while. It's been fine, I suppose, but I don't know. So anyway, those are reasons to upgrade potentially. Now back to this performance thing. One of the interesting tidbits here is that according to these benchmarks, the iPhone 7 smokes every MacBook Air. Well, it may not smoke,
isn't that crazy?
but it's faster.
Again, so freaking relative, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're doing totally different things. It's just a fun little tidbit. It's just a fun thing.
So the Geekbench numbers are higher, but, I mean, totally two different experiences comparing apples
different
and oranges.
Different instruction sets, doing different, totally different things, running very, yeah. I mean, not drastically different, but very different pieces of software.
So this is typical internet. You can't really call it FUD because it's not that, but it's typical internet like
fun stuff to talk about.
I don't know.
So did we mention that the iPhone? So as far as sales go, the 7 broke T-Mobile's all of their records. So largest pre-order day for any phone for T-Mobile ever, which is pretty substantial.
That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive, especially considering the reviews, and we'll get into the rantiness later. There were some lines. I don't know if you guys, did you guys visit stores?
I did.
Nope.
Okay.
And there were stacks of iPhones for people that were waiting in line that had not pre-ordered.
Nice. Okay.
Now it was all iPhone 7, no 7 Plus, of course, but you could get everything but a jet black, whatever configuration you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I did go to the AT&T store because I had to pick up a SIM for transferring, some of the older phones down in my family, and I asked them, and they pretty much said, "Yeah, we have everything in stock except any of the black models." They didn't get any of the black. Jet black and jet black's not going to be available for any time, but they did have all of the sizes and configurations of all of the other devices. And there was nobody. I was there around noon, 1 o'clock on launch day, and there was nobody in the store. It was just me. I mean, there were other people getting, a couple other people getting like Galaxy phones, but
we don't,
other than that, it was
just
me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. What else do we have here? The smart battery case is bigger, 26% larger as in terms of capacity. So that's good for the iPhone 7. We did talk about the teardown also revealed the bigger battery, 29 milliamp hour for the Plus. And T-Mobile had some issues, which I didn't experience, but I guess it was a big bummer. People, do you guys have a handle on what precisely was the error? They were dropping signals, I guess.
Yeah, if you had a six plus or SE, you could get periodically bumped off of the network, and the fix was reboot your iPhone and you'd be back on for a while, then you get bumped off again. And Apple has since released a T-Mobile specific update. I think it's actually rolling out as a carrier update. I'm not sure.
25.1 was the issue, and then 25.2 fixed it. And thankfully, in my case, so when it checks for the carrier update, it's typically when you go settings, general, about. And when I knew the issues were happening, I went in there and it said, hey, 25.1 is available. Do you want to? And I said, no, thanks. And when 24.2 came out, I went in there and it just said, you have been upgraded. It didn't ask my permission. So it seems as though carriers sort of have an option to make it mandatory or not, which is nice that they didn't make it mandatory, at least for the for the bad one. So iPhone 7, and I think this is going to get us into the rants. It may seem obvious when you think about it, but it requires for the home button. It's capacitive. It won't work if you have gloves on.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I press it with my nail. I guess beyond that is not.
Oh, wait. Let's talk about the nail thing because it relates back to the one thing that I still absolutely hate about iOS 10.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the I hate the new one.
God, we're gonna have to mark that. Continue.
I hate the unlock procedure. I've been living with iOS 10 for months now, and I still can't freaking handle it.
You know, and the funny thing is, for me, I prefer it now.
Yeah,
I like slide to unlock too. I miss it. I loved slide.
I have a feeling I'm in a minority because I've heard a lot of other people say they really prefer slide to unlock. But I guess it's just the way I use my phone. It's doing what apparently my brain wanted all along.
Yeah. So,
a feature for me.
So the fingernail thing, I would often, to avoid accidentally unlocking the phone so I can get to the lock screen, I would use the fingernail thing. And I didn't even think that's not going to work anymore.
You're going to have to use the side button, sleep wake.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more in the habit of doing that.
But you also
I think it'll be a lot easier for me to get in the habit of using the sleep wake button that I'm not using the old leather iPhone case. Yeah,
the raise to wake is helping a little bit, but that is inconsistent for me.
It's been working pretty well for me.
It's been working well for me.
Yeah.
I would say it works okay.
Yeah. So as far as the home button goes, in general, oh boy, it's different, man.
Well, and you can't do the reboot anymore either.
You can't do reboot by
not from that. You have to use the new key combo.
It doesn't even work when the phone's on?
Nope. Okay.
No.
Apparently it doesn't. Oh, it does a screenshot though. That's good.
Yeah. So the new way is the sleep wake button and the volume down button. Because you need to have two physical buttons to make it work.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you want
to get
hard reboot.
Try to do that when you're just on the home screen and you have it awake.
Well, it's going to change your volume.
Yeah.
Well, once you reboot, the volume change doesn't stick.
Yeah, but it's just like stupid. So I find it easier if you need to reboot, like lock the phone first and then do the reboot.
That's fair. It is an easier action because you just squeeze your phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just another one of those things. Like, with the change, the capacitive. But okay, so are we going to get into? Do we have other things to talk about, or are we going to get into how freaking lame the button is?
Let's roll. Go.
Ah, I freaking hate the Taptic Engine button. It's so lame.
It's, I mean, the...
it is lame. It is. It feels Pro. In no way like you're pressing a button.
Yeah.
It just feels like, I don't know, like the whole phone is just vibrating. It's, and yeah, they've got the three different... Did you guys mess with the three different, like, styles or settings?
Yes.
Like,
it's, I have. They need to
They're
fix,
barely any different. Number three that. Feels like it's a clunk.
Yeah, number three is the one, to me, that feels like it's vibrating the whole bottom half of the phone.
Well, that's what I'm
they
using.
They all suck.
And I'm using number two right now, and I'm okay with it. It's
yeah, that's
it's,
the one.
It's
I
not a feature too. that I'm like really excited about or really upset about. I am totally meh about how the home button feels.
I don't like it at all. All the disadvantages of not having a physical button are just being brought to the forefront, and I don't other than the water resistance, I guess, I don't see the advantage. I don't understand why.
Repair costs, I suppose. But
you know, I'm wondering if Apple has other plans for the home button down the road.
That's my only hope. But right now it's just feeling like meh. I'm kind of like you, Jeff. I'm not super upset about this, but it's just like, I missed the old one, and this kind of is a lame substitute.
Yeah, it's, and I'm just...
It doesn't feel like a physical button in no way, shape, or form. Unlike, like, my Magic Trackpad or the trackpad on my MacBook, where it does feel like a actual click. But, I mean, that's a much larger device. I it's just got to be very hard to do it, do the Taptic Engine so localized to an area at this point. So.
Yeah, I agree.
It feels like the 3D Touch response too always did, right? Where it doesn't really feel like you're getting a click per se. It's just more like you're getting some tactile feedback that you've done a certain action. In this case, it's
happening.
You know, pressing on something.
You know, I realize I'm opening up a Pandora's box here by saying maybe you're holding it wrong. but here's where I'm going with this. I have found that depending on how I hold my iPhone when I press that button, sometimes it feels like I'm just getting a haptic feedback thing. And sometimes it feels exactly like I've pressed a button that's clicking.
I'll give you that. I mean,
it's
fine.
It's weird. And, because I'm not getting a consistent feel from the button.
Well, yeah, I mean, it feels more like you're just getting a vibration if you're holding it in two hands, for sure, right? Because you're feeling the vibration under your thumb or your forefinger that's pushing on the button, but then you're also getting it through the whole back of the phone, right? So it takes away from the illusion. And again, depending upon where your other hand position is and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. But just overall, I mean, if people were to ask me, do I like it or what do I think about it? I think it's lame.
I think it's lame, too.
Yeah.
And I'm just meh, whatever.
I mean, maybe I'm in between you two guys because I'm not super upset about it. But you
I'm
know,
not upset
I,
about it either.
I,
I'm being honest about it.
Yeah. Well, it's like I just paid... whatever I paid for this new device that's supposed to be new and better.
Oh, well, you're getting into a deeper topic, which is the deeper part of my rant.
Yeah.
At this point.
It doesn't... I'm having buyer's remorse, even though I paid only $150 for it on my little T-Mobile contract thingy. Man, you know, it's... I mean, I'm really going to end up spending about $200 on this thing because I have to go get a case. I may end up Dremeling my leather case, my current one, because I'm not going to get anything for this anyway. But, I mean, I was on a 6 before. I'm not, like, at this point, I'm not super pleased. I may need to take a couple more days with it, enjoy some better battery life, maybe enjoy some speediness.
Do you think you're going to get better battery life? because right now I'm not feeling that either. I haven't. I'm going through my first charge cycle right now, so I can't really form an opinion. And I think part of the issue with the first day was I noticed my battery went down really fast. But again, feature is part of that problem.
Which feature?
And that's a whole nother rant we can get into about transferring and upgrading phones. But I don't want to get to that yet if we can hold off. But I'd like to talk about that at some point. I kind of want to stick on the iPhone, the upgrade. Like, is it worth it to upgrade? And I'm going to stick by something that I said when I did an interview for the BBC, and they asked me about that. You know, is it worth people upgrading? And my response at that time, this was before getting the phone, was no. And I know a lot of people aren't going to like to hear that, especially probably Apple.
Well, okay, so pause, though, because this is it worth upgrading question is always loaded with, I have an iPhone 6S.
Correct. It depends on, but even like you're saying, you have a 6. I don't even know if I would recommend it for someone who's had a phone for 2 years. It depends on what features you care about and what you're upgrading from and to. Absolutely, that's a big factor in it. But if you have a 6 or a 6S, I'm going to say most of the time there's probably not enough in the iPhone 7 that is going to make a difference to you to not have exactly what you described, Michael, a little bit of buyer's remorse about what did I really gain by upgrading. It's hard to point to something in the hardware or an advantage that you're going to get by spending the money to upgrade to the 7.
You know, it's not like you can truly go swimming with your phone. And so it's either you go swimming or you avoid water and occasionally get it wet. Well, you know, I did a pretty good job of avoiding water, and the 6 was already pretty water repellent.
Yep. Apple didn't really talk about the water repellent features in the 6 and 6S. And as far as I know, there's not a huge difference going to the 7.
Yeah. So let's just kind of bring it down here. So the bottom line.
Well, I can speak to that because I think that's maybe not fair, because I know that if I did the thing that I did with my 6, where I jumped in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you were kind of
accidentally with it in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, it was dead. Just
but
by jumping
you can
in.
Do that now with the 7.
Yeah, if I jumped in the pool with my 7 and immediately realized, oh, you know, crap, I just jumped in the pool and then got right out, I have no doubt that it would survive. Like, I wouldn't have to be making a trip to Apple and paying the fee to have it replaced.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe it's really the 6S where they made significant improvements.
I think
and
that's
so the
right.
7 would be an incremental improvement over the 6S.
Yeah.
So
maybe I'm wrong though. Maybe that was the 5.
We'll see. So do we recommend the iPhone 7 if you have an iPhone 6?
I would say it depends.
It depends on.
There you go.
What?
There's a couple things that I look at for any previous model iPhone as an upgrade to the 7. First, do you always want to have the latest and greatest? If the answer is yes, well, there you go. Now you get a new phone.
If that makes you happy, yeah.
Yeah, if that makes you happy, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you have a desire to take better photos all the time,
yep.
Meaning the quality of the image file, not like the phone magically makes you a good photographer, then the 7 and 7 Plus look like a nice upgrade to me.
Yeah, they're a nice bump up. The only thing with the photo thing is, you know, how much improvement are you getting, I think, needs to be discussed too. Because that factors in.
Yeah, and I haven't made up my mind on that. I'm behind you guys on time playing with the 7 because I was able to get mine yesterday, but I wasn't able to start even setting it up until almost midnight.
Right.
So I've had this morning to play with it, and just from the very short amount of time I've had, the the photos seem to be better on the 7. And what I do, the first thing I do is I take my phone outside, because we always get our phones on a Friday. So on Saturday morning, I go to the farmer's market and I start taking pictures out in the sun of all of the red colored fruits and vegetables, because that's where I'm going to see problems. Right. And the 6 Plus did a much better job last year than any other iPhone I'd had. And the 7 is doing an even better job.
Okay. The so 6S, what I want to ask you is just, you know, I want to say, subjectively, I'm going to get this mixed up, you know, just opinion wise.
That would be subjectively.
Subjectively, how much better, if you were to say, is it really? Because I have my opinion and I'll share my opinion with you, but I'm just curious to get your unadulterated thought.
I think
how much
for,
of an improvement?
For run-of-the-mill, normal sunlight, outdoor photos, you may...
Yeah.
When you start going to extreme colors, that's when you'll notice a difference. And when it's darker, that's another place the 7 will be better.
Right. So, you know, kind of putting a percentage on it, I kind of went, the images look about 20% better.
Maybe. That's what I was going to 25% say.
25% better.
Yeah.
So a little bit more, a little bit sharper, a little bit better color accuracy, you know.
Now, here's the other thing, Adam. When you were looking at those photos, are you comparing them side by side on iPhones, or are you putting them on your Mac and looking at them side by side on the same screen? Because remember, we have a wider color gamut on the iPhone 7. So a photo will have the appearance potentially of looking better on an iPhone 7 simply because it's there.
Interesting. Yeah, I was comparing my I took my 6S and I took my 7, and I was shooting the same images indoor, outdoor, and looking at the quality. I was zooming in to see the quality. You know, I was trying to compare as many things, and I was looking at sharpness. I was looking at color balance.
All right, so we're back after some technical difficulties. You were talking about the camera, Adam.
Yeah. So just mentioning that I try to do, you know, side-by-side comparisons. I was using, Jeff had asked about which screens I was looking at, and I was definitely doing it between my iPhone 6S screen and my new 7, and just basically trying to take the same shots. And just overall, the impression was that in general, it was a little bit, you know, a little bit better sharpness, a little bit better color, but it wasn't an astronomical increase, you know. So I put it at, I think I had said earlier, 20, 25% better.
And I'm with you. 20, 25% better. And I'm curious to see what you think when you compare those images side by side on your Mac's display.
Yeah, definitely. Want to take a look at that. But, you know, it's nice. It's a nice update. But again, we're trying to get to the underlying question, is it worth upgrading? I think, as Jeff was pointing out, if you're a huge camera person, yeah, it probably does. And I don't have a 7 Plus, so I can't. I think that's going to be an even bigger camera jump for a lot of people. There's a lot more stuff in there. So if you really care about your cell phone camera, I think, you know, going from a 6 Plus to a 7 Plus could be a huge jump as far as the camera goes. But I don't know. I don't have that to test, and I haven't talked to people who have the Plus to see how they feel about the upgrade in the camera there.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that really excites me is the optical image stabilization and...
Yeah, I mean, that's going to help. Again, it's going to help, but is it going to be a quantum, you know, we're talking about a relatively tiny sensor in a tiny area. And even when I had the 6S Plus, I didn't notice, or the 6 Plus rather, I didn't notice a huge difference for me with that. And I'm pretty shaky when I'm taking handheld shots.
And you know, I think that physical motion stabilizer played a bigger role in video than it did in photos.
Yeah, maybe. Again,
it certainly would.
They're nice. These are nice updates. But when you're getting to the underlying question of, you know, do you sit down and recommend someone who maybe is on the fence about upgrading, maybe going, you know, I really don't want to spend, subsidized, you're talking $200, like you were saying earlier, Michael. But I mean, if you're paying outright, you're talking about dropping $600 to $1,000, right? And if you have a phone that you're perfectly happy with, is there something that I can point to in the 7 that I can say definitively, oh yeah, you should totally drop $800 and upgrade?
That's
a hard thing to say to somebody.
I think that gets to the heart of the matter, right? So I'm feeling, we'll say, underwhelmed or unsure about my situation, and I paid $160, and it'll probably end up being $200 with a case, and that's how I feel about it right now. If I had to throw down $800 for this thing, no.
Yeah, but I mean, there's people out there too that are probably going to go, well, I have the money. I like having the latest and greatest technology. I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. I'd like my photos to be, you know, look better and crisper and have a little better low light performance, and that's of value to me.
Yeah,
so, but for those people, yeah, totally. But someone who's on the fence and says, I love my iPhone 6. It's been great. It takes great photos. I'm really happy with it. I'm not sure about spending this kind of money to upgrade to a new phone. Should I do it? You know, is it worth it? The answer is no, it's not. For you, it is probably not worth it. You are not going to feel like you got the value out of the money that you spent to upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people. And that said, I expect we're going to see all kinds of people come Monday that are just going to be waxing poetic about how much they love their iPhone 7. And
it's going to be a huge seller. I think a lot of people are upgrading just because they're on that cycle. That's the other part of it, though, too, is there's enough incentive for a lot of people from the carriers to upgrade, and they will be very happy with their upgrade. So I know, Michael, you're mentioning you might have a little remorse, but I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to spend that $200 or that are on the upgrade plan where they're just always paying $25 to $35, $40 a month, and they're just willing to pay that for a phone, and having the newer, latest, and greatest phone is going to make them feel very good about making the purchase. So it's just, it's in general, it's not... And I think this is the case for all smartphones at this point moving forward. You know, this isn't just an Apple thing. There's very little reason for someone to be able to tell someone you can justify them spending the kind of money it costs for a new phone just to upgrade, because you're not gaining huge leaps in performance in any one feature, I don't think, anymore. And we're not going to see that. I think we've just... The technology's matured to a point where we've moved beyond that, and that's the reality. So people just have to know now. This is what you're going to spend, and this is the kind of performance you're going to get across the board. A performance gain, I think, that's going anywhere from, you know, depending upon the feature, a 15% to 25% improvement, and that's across the board: processor, camera technology, overall performance, all these sorts of things.
Yep.
And if you're happy to pay the cost for that, then go for it and enjoy your new phone. But if you don't want to pay it, then don't. You know, I think it's as simple as that anymore. I think there's a lot of people who can stop the 2-year upgrade cycle and be very happy going every 3 years. And what's nice about maybe shortening or lengthening that period of time is then when you do upgrade, it is going to feel like a huge leap forward. Like if you were on a 5 or a 5S now, absolutely upgrading to a 7 is going to feel freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, that'll be a huge change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're on a 6 or a 6S, not as much.
Yeah, I'm playing with my 6 right now, and definitely experiencing some slowness. For sure, I'm just experiencing it, and perhaps that'll be a good way to maybe bolster my decision.
You have to, yeah, for you, that's going to help. But I mean, you also have to step back from it and go, if I didn't have the 7 in my hand to directly compare, would I notice?
I mean, I have been noticing. Yeah, I have been. I guess the thing is, the experience of going from lagginess to it works fine, not like, holy crap, this is just rocketing away from me. It's a mm-hmm. different experience. You know right. what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, yeah.
I'm going to move on to the general upgrading experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So my experience was annoying and, well, pretty annoying. I really just wanted to destroy the phone.
Thank you, Apple.
The first thing I got to do was I went to my typical process is back up my phone to to my computer through iTunes. And
make sure you check the encrypt option, right?
And I transfer
so that
purchases.
You can back up your health data. Because just so
and
people
passwords.
Know why you want to do that. That will back up your Wi-Fi passwords and your health data and a bunch of other stuff. That if you don't check that button, you'll be resetting that up when you restore.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that, especially the health data. A lot of people don't realize they'll lose their health data if they don't do the encrypt. And that's a privacy thing on Apple's side.
Now, if you do that through iCloud, do you get all that data?
No, I don't believe so because that's not synced. Well, the health data, is health data synced to iCloud?
iCloud backup. iCloud backup.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. I don't think the Wi-Fi passwords get restored if you're going throughout iCloud backup, but I could be wrong because I generally don't use it. Like you, Michael, I always do the local backup and restore through iTunes. So don't quote me on that. But I didn't think that would be restored through iCloud backups. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
I'm sure our listeners will let us know.
So, and then I wanted to... Usually I do a transfer purchases from my phone. So I pull all of my data. All of my, my apps, right? Because
yeah, that
I have
doesn't matter.
A lot of apps and they're big and it takes forever, to download them. Mm-hmm. That feature has been removed as I found out since iOS 9, because of app thinning, you can no longer do that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a giant bummer. So it meant it was going to be much slower. Let's continue. Yeah. My camera roll got all jacked up to the point where I thought that I had lost hundreds of photos. As it turns out, after 3 restore sessions and backups and all this stuff, because what had happened, I looked into the camera roll and I'm scrolling to the bottom and I'm like, this is stuff from 3 months ago. This is old and it's not. What's the deal? Then I saw in the like memories and the other albums that those photos were in there. So I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? I don't understand where the disconnect is. Maybe it's pulling from iCloud photo library. What's going on? As it turns out, it just scrambled all of my entire camera roll.
That's awesome.
The chronological order, which, you know, you could say, oh, well, it's fine. You just go into the moments thing until you realize when, like, let's say you're going to post something to Instagram. It does not use moments. It uses the camera roll. And it's a pain in the butt to find the photo when it's just scrambled. I mean, there's just no order to things. Certain things that happened around the same time are grouped together, so that's nice. But it's just all scrambled, so that sucks. It's terrible.
Luckily, I don't do that. I don't use my camera roll.
Not even for Instagram?
Well, yeah, but I don't keep stuff stored in my camera roll, I guess is what it comes down to.
Oh, I see.
I know people who do that, like leave all their photos in the camera roll. I'm obsessive about clearing it out.
I have other things to do, so I leave it. What else? iMessages got all frickin' jacked up.
I started, oh, good God, I'm still trying to get that sorted out.
Started messaging people from my email address. I can only imagine, like, there are a couple people I was talking to yesterday who aren't, like, technically inclined, and I was, like, trying to make plans with them. And I have a feeling when I talk to them today in person, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you started emailing me or messaging me from an email address that I don't know about suddenly. So, and I love that, number one, you have no indication on your end that something has changed. Bananas.
Right.
Two, Apple still has this problem. In all the years that iMessages have been around, this problem is still there.
Well, it's a problem for you, Michael, but I think for most people, they don't freaking care.
Until suddenly you're messaging someone and it's, you know, some random email address that you're messaging
again,
people.
Again, they don't
and
care.
Knows.
They got the message.
But who is
up,
this?
They replied
to it. Suddenly it says, who is this? What do you mean? It's me. What are you talking about? Who are you?
Yeah, the problem I'm having with that
I've never had that problem.
That my conversations are doing the thing that they did long before. It's getting better throughout the day. But they're splitting. And so I see part of conversation on one device and the other part on another device, which is a total pain.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not seeing conversations on all my devices also. So that sucks. Then my, and then this may be unrelated, but my Wi-Fi kept just crapping out. I have noticed, though, on my iPad, since I moved to 10, Wi-Fi just freezes up. The Wi-Fi chip or the program that's running Wi-Fi on my iPad, it just freezes up and it stops working. And it says, hey, you have perfect bars and everything's good. And I could have the iPad on top of my router and it wouldn't be doing anything. I have to turn off Wi-Fi and turn it back on. And I was having that issue on my new phone too. So
yeah, I'm not having that problem.
Those issues. Yeah.
So yeah, the other problem that I had, which I'm still trying to sort through, was that, my backup that's restoring has stalled, although it thinks it's still going. So I have all these apps that that are waiting to install.
Yeah. Okay. And so let's talk. Yeah, we need to talk about this. I have that. I had that exact same issue, and even worse. At one point, it jacked all my folder organization. So almost every app that I had was out of its folder and just spilled out all over my frickin' iPhone.
Oh, that's a hoot.
So I went from 2 pages of apps in folders to about 6 pages of apps, just like randomly strewn everywhere. Mm-hmm. And all my organization was lost.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's a fix for that. You just run the restore again and it'll put everything, you know, using the same backup that you made in iTunes, and it put everything back.
Now, see, everything's where it's supposed to be. It's just... it has stopped installing apps. And so, if I select an app and say, prioritize this one, it'll install.
Yeah, you can just tap on it. That was going to be my trick. This came up with on Twitter. I saw a message from, is it Jackie Chang and Ryan Block. They were complaining about this. And the workaround I found was if you just start tapping on apps, which prioritizes them, like Jeff is talking about, they installed almost instantly. But what I want to talk about is the underlying problem, because this goes back to what Michael was talking about earlier about app thinning. So I have all of my freaking apps in iTunes. I have them updated. I run the, you know, download all the updates. So I have all the latest versions in my mobile applications folder in iTunes, right? Mm-hmm. I've made the backup. Why are they not? And it's because of the app thinning thing. They're not restoring from my iTunes local ones, which would go really quick. Mm-hmm. They have to re-download from Apple. Now, think about this. So now, everybody who got a new iPhone on Friday is doing exactly the same freaking thing. How many freaking millions of apps are now downloading? So Apple's entire system was basically jacked all day yesterday. And if you look, what you'll see is that people complaining, my iTunes music wasn't playing, not disconnecting. You couldn't connect to the App Store. You couldn't connect to anything. Yeah, no duh, because everybody in the entire planet is downloading every freaking app that they have on their phone all at the freaking same time. Like, who at Apple thought this was, like, a good way to, like, do this when, you know, a large percentage of these people already have a local copy of that app already downloaded that's sitting right there?
Yep.
But no, we're going to have everybody re-download every... And not only that, if you're using iCloud Photo Library, guess what? That doesn't restore either. So all 20,000 of my photos had to re-download. And it actually ran into a battery. So I mentioned earlier, I thought I was having a battery problem with my new phone, because I got the new phone and I went to bed last night and it was at 63% battery. When I woke up this morning, it was at 30. While I was asleep, I'm like, what the hell's going on? Well, I looked at the battery usage and sure enough, photos used up like 30% of the battery overnight. Well, that's because it was re-downloading every freaking image that I had in iCloud Photo Library.
Yep.
Right.
Does this seem like a prototype phone to you guys?
No, it seems like a prototype system. Yeah. At times.
Yeah, it's just what Apple has chosen to do with the cloud, and it's insane and dumb.
Yeah. Okay, here's another problem I had. I plug in my my brand new iPhone so that I can activate it and start using it. The first thing it says is, oh, I can't activate this iPhone. Try again. And so I tap the little button to try again. And it seems fine. And it goes through the whole process of asking me what backup I want to restore from and all that. It gets to the end. And then it tells me it needs to do the 10.0.1 update. Does right. that. Reboots, and everything that I've done to start restoring from a backup is now lost. So I had to start the whole process over, but it wouldn't work. And so I end up with a phone that's set up as my phone without a backup. And now I have to erase and restore again to get it to choose the right backup. And in the meantime, it still hasn't activated as a phone. So I go to my old phone, go into the AT&T app and say, hey, I want to activate the phone. AT&T's little thing says, hey, no problem. So you can continue using this as your current phone until your other one activates. By the way, we're kind of busy. It's going to be several hours. And boom, my primary iPhone, so the 6S at that time, is now deactivated and I don't have a phone. And I think it was, well, let's see, when I got up at like 5 in the morning, that's when my iPhone 7 was finally active as a phone.
All right. So can I ask about how you guys did your backup restore kind of procedure and what you guys do? So we already talked about the first step sort of being with iTunes running the backup with the encryption on so you have a good current backup. So in my case, I am taking, you know, my existing phone's going to go to my wife and her phone's going to go to my daughter. And, you know, they kind of get moved down the line in our house. So I always do the procedure where I do the backup, do the encrypt. Then I go on the phone that I'm sort of decommissioning, the one that's going to move down.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into iCloud and I first turn off Find My iPhone. Uh-huh. Then I go and I turn off iCloud completely and tell it to remove, you know, when it asks, do you want to remove the data from this device, you know, from the iPhone, I say yes to all of those. So get rid of the notes, get rid of all the contacts and stuff like that. Then I go into general settings, reset, and I just reset the entire and erase the entire phone.
That sounds like what I do.
Okay. And the reason you have to do all that, and I think some people forget, is, and then this came up when you were talking about what you were talking about, Jeff, is the activation lock, right? You need to make sure that the activation lock has been fully, like, removed from the phone that you're going to hand down. And I think oftentimes people forget about that, and that becomes a big hassle when they go to set up, you know, the phone for the person they're handing it down to, is if you haven't removed it from Find My iPhone. I think it's Find My iPhone that contains the activation lock, right? I think that's the key step.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And often people will forget to do that.
Yep.
Now, one weird thing, and I don't know if I screwed this up. My wife did get a message about two-factor authentication being enabled on the phone that I handed down to her. And I didn't know if I needed to do something separate to turn off. I didn't think that was tied to the hardware. I thought that was tied to the iCloud account.
I thought that was tied to the iCloud account as well.
But I don't think she's ever turned on two-factor authentication. So that was a weird thing, but it hasn't seemed to cause a problem. So maybe somehow she turned that on her account during the setup or something like that. That was another just weird thing with this upgrade that we came across.
You know what we need to do is look around at internet companies and find the guy who is like the master architect, the best guy, and then just start an email campaign to Apple saying, you know, you guys have bazillions of dollars. Just spend bazillions of dollars on this guy and have him fix your totally broken system, because the whole it just works idea doesn't hold up anymore. At Apple.
Well, I think this time around, a big part of this problem was, like you said, Michael, the whole app thinning thing, and just, I think Apple's network just got so freaking slammed by all the traffic, which was causing everybody to have apps that they're waiting forever to update, because guess what? The whole entire thing was bottlenecked, you know? And it's just because of the process that's set up. Everybody, you know, and we're restoring, you know, it sounds between the three of us. I don't know how you did it, Jeff, but we're restoring the main backup from iTunes. But I guarantee you, most people are probably restoring from the iCloud backup.
Oh, yeah.
So you've
guaranteed.
Got that downloading. Right. You've got all the apps downloading. You've got all their iCloud photos downloading. Plus all the just regular traffic that's going on with Apple Music and iTunes and all that other stuff. You know, I can't even imagine how much bandwidth was going through Apple's systems.
There's got to be, you know, there's that website where you can see global, like, you know, certain chemical emissions like CO2 and global temperatures and that sort of thing. You know, it's like a live interactive map that you can pull up. I bet if you look over the area where Apple's data center is, don't they have a big data center somewhere in the U.S.
Yeah, made in North Carolina.
Yeah, we should. Mm-hmm. We should.
And they have one in Nevada, and I don't know if the Oregon one's open yet. They're building one in Oregon.
I bet there's a big heat spike over the course of the iPhone 7 being launched.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, it's just a single point of failure, and I think the system held up amazingly. You know,
amazingly,
it didn't totally go down,
yeah.
But it was definitely being impacted because I was seeing all kinds of reports of just people who weren't even doing iPhone upgrades. And I experienced it too, where like I'd go to play something on Apple Music and it would just hang. It was just like, no.
Okay. So, we've covered that. I just want to mention, I forgot the whole watch situation. So I think we all three have watches.
I don't have a new one yet. Mine's still on order and coming.
Not happy about the watch situation. What? And it's not Apple's fault.
Okay, well, this part is Apple's fault. It makes me cry. It made me so sad yesterday when I was thinking, okay, I'm having all these issues with my new phone. At least I've got my watch. Oh, wait. If I actually want to start getting my messages, because I can't get messages I can't get them on both devices now because of whatever dumb iMessage bullshit is going on Apple's servers. But if I want to continue getting my notifications on my watch, I have to nuke my watch and reinstall everything and wait for it to sit there thinking on its little charger for an hour.
Yep. Yeah,
why?
I had to do that even
why
with
is
my
that
existing watch.
Why is that still an issue?
You have to unpair the watch.
Yeah.
That's another thing people have to remember. If you're handing down a phone, make sure you unpair your watch. You go into the watch app, you have to totally unpair it, remove all the data, and then reset it up when you get your new device set up. Absolutely.
Yeah, giant bummer. Giant buzzkill. Everything
about
yesterday
was a buzzkill. Yeah, I still have to reset up my Apple Pay, too, because that's another thing that doesn't get transferred is Apple Pay, again, for security reasons, which is great, but it's just another hassle.
Well,
every time you do a restore, you've got to like reset up your credit cards.
You just have to type in the security code most times.
No.
On mine, it said, hey, you know, we've got your credit card number and your expiration. Just type in your CVV or whatever.
So that's for whatever iTunes account.
Yeah.
But once you went to add anything else, all the other card, well, I mean, none of the cards are there. It's just re-adding based on what's attached to your iTunes account. If you have other cards, you start from scratch.
Oh. Yeah, so I gave up. The third time it asked me to re-enter my cards, I'm like, I'm not dealing with this now. I'm just gonna do it later.
Yeah. Good times. Good times.
So UPS sent my Apple Watch to Loveland. They sorted it incorrectly.
Oh yeah. Did you end up getting it?
No.
Oh
no.
You had mentioned you might drive out there.
Well, I did have to drive to Loveland, but I wasn't able to get anyone at UPS to coordinate with me so that I could pick it up.
Like actually pick it up, yeah.
Yeah, and so then in the meantime, they sent it back to Commerce City, and I got an email from them late last night saying, hey, we're going to try and get that to you today. Oh, I'm like, thank you. No, they're not doing that. The earliest I will see my watch is Monday, which means, as far as a journalistic standpoint, there was no point in me buying a new Apple Watch.
Oh.
Because this whole weekend I have set aside for reviewing an Apple Watch.
Oh, well. So let's move on. So Spigen, they're going to be offering they call it a twinning cord.
I predicted this on my podcast. I'm like, yeah, by the time you even hear this, there's going to be tethering devices for AirPods.
Keep the AirPods together. I don't think it's going to be an issue, honestly.
No, it's
and
not.
I think once people start putting those cords on their AirPods, they're not going to stay in their ears anymore.
Yes.
And then they'll say that AirPods suck because they keep falling out.
Yeah.
No, they're falling out because you put the cord on them and now it's pulling them out of your ears.
Yeah. New York Times is continuing to talk about how next year's iPhone, and this is the other buyer's remorse thing is, you know, when the next iPhone comes out, am I going to be wishing I hadn't gotten this one?
No.
No? Why do you say that?
Because they're making a big deal about a freaking design change that's great. It's a design change. It's going to look nice. It's going to be great. It's going to be in another iPhone. Again, I think the days that everybody wants to go back and relive, the glory days of these amazing, like, smartphone. Again, this isn't just an Apple thing. This is a smartphone thing. I want to be very clear about that. There's not going to be anything exciting happening in smartphones until we ditch the smartphone for some other awesome technology that's, I don't know, embedded chips in your head or I don't know what it's. The next leap is going to be a leap to a screenless design or some sort of thing that we don't use screens anymore.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the idea that they're talking about is Johnny Ive's dream to have an all glass edge to edge display. They're going to get rid of the home button. They're going to have a virtual button built into the screen, which, you know, if this phone is any indication, that's going to be an even bigger bummer. Right? I mean, at least
it's,
I can.
It's going to be great. It's going to be very cool. And it's going to be nice to have a new design. And the edge to edge thing is nice too, because you can now have a phone that is got a larger screen and doesn't change its physical dimensions. You know, many people point out, and I think this is a fair thing to say, the Galaxy 7 has a larger screen than the iPhone, but is physically dimension wise, I think, slightly smaller than the iPhone. Because it doesn't have the bezel and all the extra junk around it. And that'll be nice. But again, I don't think, on a day-to-day usage basis or anything like that, I don't think it's going to, like, change anyone's lives anymore. Yeah. We're past that.
I agree. I also think that
you're right.
Apple kind of, it seems like they're in a, they're frenzied. Right now, they're kind of panting and frenzied and kind of
they
feel like they're beholden to the idea of coming out with a new operating system every year and a new phone every year. And I think they just spent some time to settle down and look at what they have and what issues they need to work on and just said, you know what, we're not going to look outward to what people are expecting. We need to look inward to what we believe we need to work on and make this thing the best we can. I think that we would be in a much better position, because I think there are many, 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 many refinements that need to be made software-wise, especially. But I think that this...
I think they did that with iOS 10. I think to not say that they didn't do that with iOS 10...
I disagree.
Because that was...
I disagree. iOS 10 makes me feel even crazier than iOS 9. Every release beyond,
I think it's awesome.
Every release beyond, you know, maybe 7 has just made me feel, you know, that much more on edge, confused, and kind of fighting against my phone. I think that the interface has just gone down the toilet.
I disagree. I love the whole notification system on iOS 10. I love the stuff that they've done with Photos. I'm enjoying the stuff. I'm not even a message person, and I'm enjoying the stuff that they've rolled into messages. There's a learning curve on it, but anytime you're going to have big sweeping software changes, there is going to be a learning curve. But people will get past that, and I think the experience is vastly improved in iOS 10. I think Apple is doing the right thing, where they know that the hardware leap forwards are not going to be as great. So iOS 10 to me feels like they've doubled down focusing on the software and the interactions and the experiences there, which I think that's where they can make the huge improvements. And what's nice about doing it in the software is you don't need a new phone. You know, for the consumer, it's nice because you don't need a new phone to get a lot of the benefits. It's a little bit of a downside for Apple because there's not as compelling reasons to upgrade your phone as we've been talking about in this episode. So I don't know. I feel more positive about that direction. I think it's the right way to go, and I think Apple's made huge leaps forward with iOS 10.
I think so too.
Okay.
I'm overall liking iOS 10 more than any other version of iOS.
Yep. Yeah, and there's more to come. Again, with messages, apps, it's going to, you know, it's back on the developers. With Siri integration, it's going to be, you know, what do the developers do now that they have access to Siri? There's a lot of underlying APIs that we haven't even touched on that were opened up to developers in iOS 10, and we kind of have to wait for those app updates to come out, and it's going to get even better. So, you know, it's overall, I think, you know, if you can run iOS 10, I think you probably should. Again, some people who are on the fence, and we already talked about it earlier, so we don't need to rehash it. If you're concerned about performance on an older phone, you know, maybe look into it before you make the leap and make that choice if those features are worth maybe a performance hit to you. But I think in general, if you have a phone that can decently run iOS 10, you want to upgrade. I would have said that about iOS 9 for some people.
All right.
Just my personal opinion.
Are there any other things you guys want to talk about? Because I had a lot more on the list, but I think that's a good point to wrap up.
Yeah. No.
I think
we hit all my good rants.
Okay, cool. So I do have a pick. I guess it's a repick. I'm not sure if you guys have picks that you came up with.
I have a pick.
Okay.
I have a pick.
So I'll do mine first just to mix it up. And it's once again, the SteelSeries Nimbus. It is,
that thing's awesome.
Was it always $50?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's $50. I've been using it a lot, not on my Apple TV, but on my Mac. And so I've been using it with, OpenEMU, which if you don't know, is a collection of, older game system emulators. You've got, you know, N64, Nintendo DS, NES, SNES, Game Boy, Atari, Sega, PlayStation. There's a lot, so many different things built in here. So what I've been playing primarily is Ocarina of Time on Nintendo 64, and I have had a lot of issues with it in the past. I just want to play my darn game. You know, the game that I grew up playing, I just want to play it on my computer. And so I had purchased other
adapters
in the past, something that let me connect my old N64 controller to USB. didn't really work so well. It might actually work with OpenEMU, but OpenEMU, these guys tend to err on the side of compatibility, playability, not so much on in terms of, you know, that you're not going to see, you know, giant graphics improvements, that sort of thing. You can get graphics improvement packs for certain games, but that doesn't come in here. So brings me back to my Nimbus. So this works out of the box with OpenEMU, works great for Nintendo 64. And there really wasn't a whole lot to configure, honestly. When I had the Nimbus connected, it pretty much just figured itself out and it works really well. There wasn't a lot of configuration. It works great. The only, so for those who want to play N64 with this, the D-pad, the left joystick, and the, you know, the A, B buttons, those are kind of in the same position that you'd expect. The only change is the C button, the yellow C buttons. Those are assigned to the right-hand joystick. So, but it works great. I've been playing Ocarina of Time, and really no issue. A little bit of graphics bugs, but hey, you know what? $50. You can play all kinds of games on your Mac, you can play on your phone, your iPad, and your Apple TV. So I'm really happy about this purchase. I've been really digging my Nimbus. So, yeah, check it out if you haven't.
Cool.
Jeff, I think that's your cue.
Oh, yeah. Nightshade says she really wants to hear about my pick. My pick is self-serving on one hand, but clearly a community service on the other. Okay. I have sticker packs on the App Store.
All right.
Space is the place. What I did was I drew everything for the sticker packs and put two one where I colored all the graphics and the other one where I left them black and white because it turns out people want both. And they're 99 cents right now, but they will be going up to $1.99 at some point. So right. Pick them up while you get them for less, or hold out so that I get more money. Whatever. But space is the place.
All right, so it's 99 cents for now. Check that out. Adam.
Yeah, so we were talking about apps and iMessage apps earlier. I'm going to pick an iMessage app.
Okay.
It's goofy and it's fun. It is JibJab. There is a great JibJab integration for iMessage. So it's actually an app that you'll download, but you can get it through the iMessage store. So just go into the new iMessage in iOS 10 and click on the store area and you'll find it. But it basically lets you take a photo or an image, cut out your face, and then paste it on different animated GIFs. So there's all kinds of, there's a whole library, and it will paste your mug on different ones, and you can send them to your friends, and it's just totally fun and silly and goofy, but it's a fun thing to play around with if you want a fun app to play around and test with in the iMessage store. Take a look at JibJab.
Nice.
So, you know, I sent my brother a GIF of me fist bumping with President Obama.
Nice.
So it's stuff like that.
Free or how much?
Free.
Nice.
Free. All I think you do create an account if you want to share and sync, or, you know, sync up your little cutouts. It basically gives you an interface where you can go and you can either take a photo with the camera or you can grab something from your camera roll, and it kind of has outlines and you line up your eyes and mouth with a little line, you know, by scaling, and then it will automatically do the cutout for you. And create, you know, it's typical JibJab stuff if you're familiar with it. I will warn people, some of the things are a little maybe PG-13 rated.
Yeah.
In terms of you know, the animated GIF, nothing too seedy, but if you're sensitive to those sorts of things, maybe avoid it. But otherwise, it's fun.
Cool.
So don't put it on your 10-year-old's phone.
Meh. Yeah, maybe, maybe. It depends on how you feel about it.
Depends on the 10-year-old. Okay, so.
It's PG. It's PG-13, you know. I think, like, there's one image that's, like, a happy birthday image where the guy is blowing a party blower out his back end, the way to say it nicely.
Sure.
But it's animated.
He's got
it's
his trunk.
Yeah, it's hand-drawn animation, though. It's not photo. So okay. That's kind of where the line is. That's right at the edge of the line.
Okay, cool. All right, so with that, the picks in the show notes are at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, tell a friend. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, all that stuff. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Maccast, maccast.com, and at Maccast on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me. And sorry about the technical issues.
That's not your fault. It's my fault. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations Podcast. Check that out. And at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's always a blast.
And
when we do have technical problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? Stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. No.